Good afternoon, brethren. Beautiful Sabbath, isn't it? We have been blessed with an awesome summer this year. We finally got some hot weather, but hopefully it's going to last for a week or two, and we're back into some nice, cool stuff. We're told in Scripture that when you go to the feast, you can take whatever you get, and you can turn it into money, and you can go there, and you can buy whatever your heart desires. Of course, but that's not exactly what the sermon that's about. But I just wanted to bring that up. So you might think about that through what I give you today. I'm tempted to buy that car, clothes, electronics, whatever it might be. I know I can't afford another vehicle. I already have three cars for my two-car garage. And I don't drive them that much anyway. Nor can I afford the insurance or the upkeep for them. Does this sound familiar to any of us? We've went through those periods in our life, probably. Where am I going to put more clothes? I've already taken over my husband's closet for all the clothes and the shoes that I don't wear anymore anyway. But that 70-inch screen, big screen TV is just absolutely awesome. And I can just picture it on my wall where the fireplace should be. It's only 60 inches wide, but I can deal with that when I get it home. I'm really tempted to, because you know what? If I don't, I'm never going to find this particular item, car, clothes, whatever it might be, on sale at this price again. Advertising deception. Temptation starts with deception. That's the title of the message today. Temptation starts with deception. Advertising deception, because next week it will cost less somewhere else, or the sale has been extended. It's this Saturday only, but next week it'll be this Saturday only. So it's a continuing thing. Well, I'm tempted to do whatever this is, whatever the infraction of the action is. Anyway, I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't have that extra helping of pecan pie, two scoops of ice cream, or that fourth martini, or a glass of wine. I know I should have stopped at only one because of health reasons. Do you know what? I may get hit by a truck on the way home. Or have a heart attack. Probably. From all the overeating and drinking I've been doing. I just have the feeling that if I don't do it, I may not have the opportunity to do it again. But I'm tempted to anyway. Most of our temptation starts with deception. Just as Eve was tempted by deception by Satan in the Garden of Eden. You don't need to turn there, but this is what he said in Genesis 2, verse 1, towards the end of verse 1. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan first deceiving by introducing doubt to Eve, maybe, that isn't really what God said. That's my words. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. The lie. I just heard this juicy rumor about my boss. I want to hear it. I should probably keep it to myself and not tell anybody else. But I'm tempted to say something. I know it's none of my business. But if I don't say what's on my mind now, I'll feel so bad and so guilty. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to tell you a story about me. About the car that I lusted for. And you put that in the last 10th commandment of not coveting anything. whether it be your neighbor's wife or their donkey or just something that doesn't belong to you. Maybe you shouldn't have it. Mr. Sandy can listen to this one. It was a 1953 Ford Victoria, two-door hardtop, seafoam green with a white top, most beautiful car I'd ever seen. Absolutely beautiful and a deluxe model. It had real carpet. Back in 1953, you get a lower-end model like a Ford or a Chevy. You most likely had rubber mats for the floorboard. Had a flathead V8 and an automatic transmission, which is pretty popular at that time. The first time I saw it, I wanted it. Lust. I was managing a gas station or service station, whatever you might call it at that time, and I told the man who owned it, if he ever sold it, I wanted to be the first one to have the opportunity to buy it. Sounds fair enough, right? Gets better. Well, as it happened, several months down the road, he came in and told me he was moving. He's moving to Texas. He was going to have to sell the old Ford. He was probably about 15 years old at the time. Now, compare that to something 15 years old today, be like a 1998 something, which I can't find anything 1998 I'd really be that interested in, unless it be a Mustang, possibly, you know, or a Camaro. So I let it ride for a week or so. When the owner came in on a Sunday to let me know that he was leaving in just a few days. This was bait. Again, so here's your deception. He may not leave then. I had to have that car. So I told him if he would wait until the next day, I would bring him the money. Problem was, I didn't have any money of my own. Until the next payday, which wasn't until Wednesday. Now, that's 2 days. In 2 days, I might lose out on everything I wanted. So when I got home that evening, I hit up my cousin, Bob Mack. If Mr. Martins was here, he would know who I was talking about, who was my roomie at the time. We were cousins. And I asked him if I could borrow the money. Don't remember the amount. It was like $125, $175, something like that, which was a lot of money to me at the time. If I could borrow that until I got paid, he said, sure. I did. And I bought the car the very next day. I was happy. So this should be the end of the story, right? And we lived happily ever after. Not quite so. So I drove the car for about a week. And I believe it was about a week, and I was totally ecstatic. Then I decided it needed a tune-up. You know, I was like 20-some years old. It needed a tune-up. That's what you do when you're 20 years old, you know. So I asked my cousin, I said, if you would go down around the corner and pick up a tune-up kit, and when I get home, get off work, we'll put it in. Easy to do on that model of car. So I got home and started changing the thing to find out they'd given him the wrong kit. Not a problem. That's okay. So it was already too late to go and exchange it at that late hour. So I was going to get off early the next day. I come home, go down and exchange it and change it. So we left it parked on the curb, as usual. We usually left it parked on the curb because we didn't have an off-street parking where we were staying. Well, come the very next day when I got home, I was cleaning up, getting something to drink. I heard this awful crunch. Well, right outside our apartment. So when I looked out the front door, I saw a car speeding down the road with smoke and steam just spewing all over the place. No problem. Thought somebody must have got hit or something. And I noticed a car in the yard, in the grass. And guess what? It was my lusted after 1953 Ford. The damage was so bad, I ended up selling it for junk. Should have been the person that caused the damage was never found. Had a The taxi cab driver seen it all happen, and he chased him for about 3 blocks and lost him. End of story? Not quite. A month later, I went to work in a body shop. Salt into the wound. And you've heard the saying, be careful what you ask for, you might get it. And sometimes when you get what you ask for, sometimes you have to pay the penalties, you know. So how was I tempted? I had to have the car. It was worth it. It really was. And I deserved it, right? Because I worked hard and I needed something to show for all my efforts. It was I. Me. All about me. Jeremiah 17:9-10. Excuse me. Tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we don't even know our heart. You know, it's that deceptive. I, the Lord, search the heart, or the mind, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways. That was my way. You know, I wasn't going to church then, or was even thinking of it. But I just don't have to do this, but I'm tempted to anyway. Because remember, it's all about me. I deserve it. I want to read something here I got off of a restaurant table, under a drink, by the way. It says, here's to you. We see you're taking a load off and enjoying a nice cold beverage. Hey, you earned it. Probably just like you do every day. So drink up, friend. The workday will be back soon, and hopefully so will you. Just a little tidbit there. But deception starts in the mind. First, we're told a lie, the deceptive advertising. Then we, just like Eve, we begin through the logic of doubt and end up justifying whatever the actions we take. How many times have you had someone tell you, of course, tell you that you're worth it? And of course, the majority of the time it's just in jest. You know, we have a lot of fun doing those kind of things. But we should stop and sit back, look at things realistically. Then maybe, just maybe, we would come to a better conclusion. I really would have been better off not buying the new clothes right now, since it's getting close to school starting, and maybe I could get something special for the kids to wear, or for something to enjoy together at home, or for the whole family. And I really don't need to have more clothes. I don't have room for any more anyway. And guess what? That TV, it's just so awesome. But it's just too big. In fact, it is so big, even if I could manage to modify the wall where the fireplace should go, I would have to knock out the wall between the living room and the garage. And there's not enough room in the garage now to put all the stuff that I don't use anyway. Just get over it. Go clean the garage and make some room for the things that really matter. The car that's been sitting in the weather for the past 2 years. What a concept. And by the way, the story about the 1953 Ford is true. I should have told Hart, not now. Maybe a few weeks down the road, after you've saved your own money. If the owner was delayed moving, you might get it for an even better price. Or better yet, find something you'd like even better. But I didn't. And I reaped the consequences. Remember, what you asked for, you might get. I had to pay back the loan and had neither the money nor the car. So I sort of lost out all the way around. But I did learn a lesson. Of course, we will always have those spur-of-the-moment issues that come up that will not necessarily impact our lives, excuse me, in a particular negative way. But the really big decisions should take a more methodical approach. I'm going to go to Matthew 26:41, take it just slightly out of context, but it's to get my point across. But some Matthew 26:41, somewhat out of context, to let us understand that before you rush into any rash decision, this is what we should do. And this goes for all aspects of our life. And it says, watch and pray about the situation, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are physical bodies, physical people. Even though we know down deep inside we probably shouldn't do this, but we can cave into this physical desire. It's not a need, it's a desire. Remember how David and Eve, King David and Eve, were both tempted. Even though Satan's influence was there, it all started in the mind. Doubt, selfishness from the heart. If you go back again and read Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, then think about Matthew 26:41, and see how the examples of Eve and Dave could have been much different. Yes, we can eat and drink to excess. Life is short enough as it is, so why rush it? This is just food for thought. And P.S., if you have not read or recently read the booklet, The Ten Commandments, I have one here. It looks like it's been beat up a little bit. Please pick up a copy if there is one out there today, or we'll ask and get some for you. And study it and see how many of those that I broke. Covetous, idolatry. And remember, if I broke one of them, I'm guilty of breaking them all. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Thank you.